This episode of the Random Variety Show is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Get a free download of your choice from over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player by visiting audibletrial.com/randomvarietyshow. And now, on with the show.
This is Truth and the Lies, and you're listening to the Random Variety Show podcast, episode number...
Season 2, episode 3. It's the Random Variety Show podcast with Charlie Miller. Hey, that's me. The only bi-weekly podcast that's random, has variety, and is a show. Ah, yeah, thanks for downloading and listening to another great episode of the Random Variety Show. Today, our guest is writer, filmmaker, and the director of the Damn Short Film Festival. And now that's damn as in holds back water, not the curse word, John Labani. But before we get to that, let's move into... the random segment. Well, today, the random segment is actually something that I did out on the street. Well, that sounds really bad. Let's rephrase that. Something that I did while I was walking around and having my day, I actually recorded. So before I make a fool of myself anymore, let's send it out to me in the field. Well, thanks, Charlie. Yeah, I'm going to try to do more of the random whenever, wherever I am, grab my iPhone and record sort of random segments or random bits. And right now, I'm on a little walk. Had to run an errand to the post office and stop at the store and, you know, do those things because those things need to get done. And as I'm walking, of course, I have Drew with me. He's in his stroller and he's doing his thing. He's looking around. He's sleeping right now. But, you know, he's doing what a 4.5-month-old child would do. And it is amazing to me to just observe everyone else around me. It's about a 50-50, well, I guess it's not 50-50, I guess it would be, 33 and a third percent, maybe 25 if I keep talking and think of another one. So it's three different things, 33.3% of each. So as I'm walking along, it's amazing to me how a third of the people totally ignore that I'm pushing with the stroller. And it's not a tiny little stroller, it's a fairly large one, you know, to be able to accommodate, technically it's a travel system. The part where he sits until he's a little bit bigger, it actually is the car seat, and it snaps into a base and everything else. So if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about, and if you're not, well, wait till you are. Or deal with friends' kids. Anyhow, it's amazing to me how a third of the people totally ignore, a third of the people totally go ape over, and a third of the people just kind of go, he's got a kid. And I guess there is a fourth, because the fourth would be, oh God, he's got a kid, get away. And it happens not just in vehicles, as I'm walking through an area where cars may be, you know, crossing the road, a parking lot, or wherever. Also, people walking do the same thing. So it makes me stop to wonder about the rest of the world. You know, if a quarter of the people do those, you know, four different things, you know, totally aware of what's going on, totally blatantly ignorant of what the hell's happening, some people see it and avoid it, and others just kind of acknowledge it. What else do they do that with in life, you know? Do they do that when they're shopping and miss the prices and the sales? I don't think so, the way I see people shop. I know people miss exits on the freeway. And that's usually due to conversation, whether it's on the phone or in the vehicle itself. But, you know, it happens to some more than others. But if that's their thing, if that's, you know, going through and taking everything in or totally ignoring it and everything in between, where do you fit in that? What do you do? Do you observe everything going on around you? Are you just focused on yourself and the task at hand that you kind of ignore everything else in life? Or do you just step up and face it and take it in with open arms and embrace it? Or do you just kind of, oh yeah, I see that. That's cool. Or, what's yours? Let me know. Oh, now, also, as I'm walking... in an area behind some shops at a mall that's close to, or outdoor mall, it's a shopping center. There's a little embankment that's kind of closed in, fenced in. It doesn't look like it belongs to either side of the property, whether it's the person that is on the south or the north. But as I passed it, I noticed the person, a man, sunbathing. Now, it was through the grass, so it was kind of difficult to see, but all I saw was this guy putting on lotion, as if he was at the beach. And I live in San Diego, but I am nowhere near the beach. So, all right, that's all I got. We'll send this back. So that was the random segment, yes, and that guy that was sunbathing threw me for a curve, and I stumbled on my words as I was recording what you just heard, and so if the edit sounds a little strange, that's why. He was just sitting there, not really doing much, just kind of putting lotion on his arms and upper chest is all I saw. Now, don't get me wrong, I didn't stare. I saw it out of the corner of my eye, did a double take, looked back, realized what it was, and then continued walking, all while telling you that story. So that's it for the random segment. Now let's talk about how you can find us on the web. The website's randomvarietyshow.com. On there you'll find links to our sponsors, Amazon and Audible, our Twitter link, our Facebook link, our Google Plus link, our iTunes link, our Stitcher Radio. Hey, if you use either one of those, give us a rating through iTunes or a thumbs up on Stitcher. It helps let the world know that you like the show. You can find our voicemail, 619-407-8770. Leave us a message. We'll play it on the show. Links to our Tumblr, our Instagram. You can hear us on the Blueberry Network, the Blackberry Podcasts Network. You can hear us every Friday night at WQ4DRadio.com at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, and all time zones in between. PodGodsNetwork.com is where we're also part of. You can find our email at randomvarietyshow.com. Now, as I kind of explained in the anniversary show, if you haven't heard that yet, go back and listen to it. It was a fun little thing to put together, kind of a clip show. I enjoyed it. You'll hear the slogan that made up for the show. If you don't know it by now, it's the Random Variety Show slogan, and we're going to hear it from our guest of episode 20 from season 1.
This is Brian Sparks from Creating Sparks Podcast, reminding you that there is no need to RSVP for the RVSP.
That's right, Brian. No need to RSVP for the RVSP. Just subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or listen at randomvarietyshow.com. I'd also like to thank our guests from last episode, Season 2, Episode 2, Truth and the Lies, for opening our show today. Thanks, guys. I really, really do appreciate it. It's Pod God cross promotion time. Being a member of the Pod Gods Network, we play bumpers from other shows, just like they play ours. So for this episode, we have fellow Pod God.
Excuse me, Charlie.
Oh, hello, Reggie.
Reginald.
I'm sorry, Reginald. I didn't expect you to show up.
Well, ever since the first episode of season 2, your anniversary show, I've taken over editing and producing the show. Remember?
Of course I remember, Reginald. How could I forget?
Well, it seems that we've received some feedback from our wonderful fans and listeners, and the general response is that the PodGod promos that we play, are a bit too racy and explicit.
Really? Our fans have been saying that.
Unfortunately, yes.
Well, most podcasts out there in the world aren't as family-friendly as ours.
Yes, I am aware of that, which is why I'm bringing it to your attention.
I see. Well, playing the cross-promotional bumpers is part of the agreement I have with Adam Barker and the PodGods Network, so what do you suggest we do?
Well, to keep our program family-friendly and clean, as you stated on iTunes, I suggest that we provide our own cross-promotion for the PodGods Network. That way you can keep up your commitment with the PodGods and maintain our family-friendly quality of programming.
So then, Mr. Producer, what do you suggest I do?
Inform our listeners of the PodGods website and the other programs available.
Oh, well, okay. The website is PodGodsNetwork.com, and the other wonderful PodGod programs you'll find there are GarageCast, A Little Punch Drunk, The Monday Movie Show, Oddcast Podcast, Salty Language, Evil Teddy Bear Podcast, Dirty Rotten Show, Dicks and Cider, MovieCom, BUI Podcast, that's Blogging Under the Influence, Get Into Character, Clutch and Wiggle, We Love Movies, It's Not Soccer Podcast, 7 Days a Geek, Anti-Semantic Show, Following the Nerd, Jellyfielders, Two Funny Girls, Zombie Life Podcast, The Unsocial Network, Panic Stations, Pod God Damn It, Chasing Greedo, Canuck Cast, Final Shot Saloon Podcast, Ask an American Podcast, Google Goddess Live, Mr. Mix Mixtape, and of course, The Random Variety Show. So will that suffice, Mr. Producer?
I do believe it will.
Excellent. Visit PodGodsNetwork.com for more information about those shows. It's time for Groucho's Corner here on the Random Variety Show. If you're tuning in for the very first time, thank you so much for listening. I do appreciate it. But I also suggest that you go back to the archives at randomvarietyshow.com or iTunes and listen to the prequel episode, episode 00, or the anniversary show, season 2, episode 1, to listen to the full interview I did with Groucho Marx and find out why he's helping me out on my show. But in a nutshell, I was looking for people to interview. I stumbled across the disembodied voice of Groucho Marx, and he graciously decided to help me out with my show. Today's guest is John Labani, a writer, a filmmaker, and the director of the Damn Short Film Festival in Boulder City, Nevada. So without any further delay, take it away, guys. Hello, and welcome to Groucho's Corner on the Random Variety Show podcast. Today we have writer, filmmaker, and director of the Damn Short Film Festival, and I mean that in a nice way, John Labani. John, thank you so much for being on the show today. Welcome to the program.
Oh, it's a real thrill to be here today.
Well, it is your thrill for being here, absolutely. So, you're a filmmaker and a writer, and, well, let's just start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself. Give them the tip of the iceberg, and we'll shoot for the bottom later.
Well, I am a writer and a filmmaker involved in making short films for several years, and now I'm director of the Damn Short Film Festival, which is a film festival in Boulder City, Nevada. Runs between 3 and 4 days each year. This is our 9th year, and I've kind of evolved to the point where I'm doing this now for the moment.
Well, that's marvelous. Now, how did your love of filmmaking start or begin? Do you remember when it started for you? Did you see something specific, or did you just grab a camera and make a movie?
I think as a youngster, what really turned me on to movies was Star Wars. The first Star Wars movie was just incredible to watch, and I think that really got me started on being in love with movies.
Well, it was a spectacle, and I think that the reason a lot of people like yourself, filmmakers, writers, actors, have a love for that movie is because of all the behind the scenes stuff that was released shortly thereafter.
Maybe not for me. I was never really interested in how they were made. I was interested in the stories that were told and how those stories were told through a visual image. And it's a real unique way of telling a story. A film is an incredible way to tell a story.
Oh, it absolutely is. You've got all the elements. You've got visual, you've got audio, you've got emotion on verbal and nonverbal methods. It's an amazing medium of communication.
Yeah, all that's missing is smell.
And you know, someday I think we're going to get there.
Smell vision, yeah.
Well, they tried it in the 50s. It just didn't work very well. And it should stay in the 50s.
I'd probably like that.
So you saw that Star Wars, the first one in 1977, and that's when you said, I want to do that?
I don't know if that's when I said that, but I was always interested in movies. And then when it came time to go to college, I decided to major in film, and I went to Boston University and studied film for 4 years. And then, you know, of course, I wanted to live with my parents after I got out of school, so that's why I decided to study film.
Of course. That's why everybody that's a filmmaker or an actor goes to school, because they will want to live with their parents when they're done. Absolutely.
So I wanted to work in fast food and lawn maintenance, so I studied film for 4 years in college.
And they go hand in hand.
Yes, that's right. And the truth be told, I didn't do a lot with my degree for a long time. I still maintain that love of movies. I just think there's some frustration in trying to get a job that actually pays money. That's tough.
That's very true. Very, very true. Now, when did you make your very first film? When did you finally grab a camera and say, I'm going to do this?
I never did it until I was in college.
Oh, it was college. Okay.
Yeah, I never did it until I was in college. And back then, it was film still. There wasn't you know, there were video cameras out there, but in school we were still using film.
As a frame of reference, are we talking about the mid to late 80s, early 90s? Where are we talking about?
We're talking about the early 90s. Film was still the medium. Video was catching on fast. I remember in college when I went to a post-production house, they had a room, and in this room was a monstrous computer, absolutely monstrous. This thing filled the whole room, and it was the first Avid editing machine.
Ah, yes, they would fill a room or two.
Well, now you have this, all the power in that on your desktop.
Well, actually, I'll go one further than that. You actually have it in the palm of your hand with a iPad or an iPhone or most any other smartphone. You make a movie or recording right from your fingertips right there.
That's right. You've got a movie studio in your pocket now. So things were a little bit different back then, and I didn't have access to all that stuff till later. So it wasn't until college that I made my first film.
And what was that first film? Do you remember it?
Oh, God. Yeah, it was about...
I should have asked, do you want to remember it?
I'm not sure I do.
Well, then just forget about it.
Yeah, okay, I'll forget.
So I guess that first movie was just a chore, or was it just a hard learning experience?
It was a chore, and it was a hard learning experience, and I think I made that film not because I wanted to make it, but because it was part of a class assignment, part of doing the degree work. And I don't think you can put your heart into something like that unless it's something you want to be making. And that didn't happen until much later.
Also, the passion behind it wasn't there. It was just a task, something that had to get done.
In that case, yeah.
For that very first one. Well, what about your first movie that you made that you did enjoy?
Well, the first movie I made that I did enjoy was called Barn Dance, and that was a real labor of love. It was a tremendous labor, but a labor of love nonetheless. And it is a story of doing what you want to do, believe it or not. That's what the movie's about. It's about overcoming those challenges in life to do the things that you want to do. It's about a kid who's in a wheelchair. He can't dance with the girl he wants to dance with, but yet by the end of the movie, he finds a way to do that. So he overcomes his challenge to do what it is he really wants to do.
Now that sounds like a marvelous story. Is there a way that our listeners could find that, or is that just archived away for all posterity?
No, you can find a copy of Barn Dance on Vimeo. Just search for Barn Dance. And there's also, you can get to it on the DVX user website at dvxuser.com. Search for Barn Dance again. It's floating out there in cyberspace.
It's floating out there in cyberspace. Well, maybe Charlie will be nice enough and put a link in our show notes for our listeners.
I hope so. I would want to see that movie if I just heard about it.
Well, wait, I'll make sure that he does that then. So now, if that was one of your favorite movies or your labor of love, you said, aside from your very first one that we just discussed was a task to do, was there any other movie that you started out with good intentions but just ended up being a nightmare?
Yeah, that happened. I don't know if you end up calling it a nightmare, but some of the movies I was excited about and excited about making, they just didn't come out the way I had been hoping for whatever reason. And filmmaking, well, it's a great art form. One of the challenges that you face when you make a film is it's a collaborative medium.
Oh, yes.
It's difficult to make a film by yourself, a dramatic film with actors and stuff. It's almost impossible. It can be done. But if you're going to make a movie, you need to be working with other people. And sometimes, for whatever reason, all those ideas and people don't come together in the final product that you were hoping for.
I understand that. Well, they say that a movie is written three times, once on the paper, once when it's filmed or recorded, and then the last time in the editing room. And if you don't have those collaborative energies meshing together in a fashionable way, we'll say, it can be really challenging.
Tremendously challenging. And I think this happens in major Hollywood films as well. Big budget productions with top talent in all areas sometimes don't come together the way they should have. And that's just the way filmmaking goes sometimes.
I think that happens in all natures of business, because there's always a bunch of business partners that can never agree upon anything. It happens everywhere, I think. We just happen to see it more in the movies and television because things are made more public.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
So now let's move on to this Damn Short Film Festival. How did you first get involved with the Damn Short Film Festival? And this is the only time I can say damn and not be bleeped out.
The Damn and Damn Short Film Festival refers to the Boulder Dam, which is now where Boulder City is. And it's kind of a play on words there. But what happened, I lived in Southern Nevada in Las Vegas for, 10 years, and I had never heard of this festival. And what happened was I had a buddy who had a film, Carlton Torben. And
he was in our first season.
Oh, was he?
Yes, he was. He was a guest on the show. I've talked to him before. He's a hell of a nice guy.
I'm following in his footsteps there. That's great. So he had a film called Flip, and his Flip was going to appear in the Damn Short Film Festival. And I read this on the internet, and I had talked to him about his movie a couple of times through email. And I said, well, why don't I go down there and see the film there and meet him and check out this festival that I never heard of. And so that was my first exposure to the Damn Short Film Festival, was going down there to see my buddy and see his movie. And this festival was a really amazing experience. And then over the years, I continued to go down there as the festival grew as an attendee. And then when I made Barn Dance, the first place I submitted it was to the Damn Short Film Festival. And I was an officially selected filmmaker with my film there. And that ran at the Damn Short Film Festival. That was really exciting.
Wow.
And, so that was.
And it all started with that little movie, Flip.
It started with Flip, yeah, and kind of grew there to where I was an officially selected filmmaker. And over the years, and kind of stuck with this festival as an attendee and a filmmaker. And then one day, they're looking for somebody to run it. The executive director, Lee Lanier, had run this thing for 7 years. And had, which will wear on you.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
And was looking for some help to take up some of the slack and run some of the day-to-day operations. And there were several candidates for the position. And I thought about it. My wife encouraged me to do it to keep my interest in film going. And instead of submitting a resume and a cover letter, I made a movie as my resume and submitted that.
That's very creative, of course.
I thought it was.
Were you the only one that thought it was creative?
Probably. I was not only the only one who did it, the only one who thought it was a good idea. So I submitted this short film, maybe 6 minutes long, about who I was and why I might make a good director for the Damn Short Film Festival. And I got the position, and the rest is history.
So how long have you been the director?
This will be my second year. This will be my second season.
Also, this is your second year, so you've got another 5 more to go till you get fed up with it. At least according to statistics. You never thought about it that way, did you?
Well, about 5 more years, and then I'm completely sick of it.
Yeah, exactly. You'll slip right into the cracks.
If everything goes according to schedule.
Well, according to that schedule. So now that you're the director, let's talk about the festival itself. Let's start with the end of last year's festival, all the way up until this year's festival. What's the process?
First of all, the festival runs for 4 days or 3 days, depending on the budget for the festival that year. So this will be the 9th season. So the 4 days that the festival runs, that's when all the excitement happens. The films are exhibited. The filmmakers come. All the attendees are there. We have the panels and the parties, and we watch all these films. It's great. So for 4 days, there's a lot of excitement. But for the rest of the year, it's a lonely process. But the process continues throughout the year. It's constant work through the whole year, even just for these 4 days. So the way the process works is at the end of the festival, everything cleaned up and done from last year, we open up a call for entries for submissions, and filmmakers submit their short films to the festival. So we take those submissions all the way through the beginning of December.
That's a healthy length of time.
It is. This year we took over 400 submissions.
Is that the highest yet?
It was the most submissions a festival had ever received. So,
well, it's growing. That's exciting. Remarkable. That's exciting. Yes, it's growing. That's good. You said it's the ninth year.
This is the ninth year. But the problem is somebody has to watch all those submissions.
And that would be you, I'm guessing.
That I'm part of that process. I do watch all the submissions, but there is a selection committee at the festival, and those films get screened by the selection committee. And so most of what happens in the off season is collecting the submissions, watching them, and getting ready to make a schedule.
All right. So going through the process and figuring out which ones are going to make it, or would they all go into it?
That is the challenge. Not all of them go into it. We're going out of the over 400 entries we ran or we received this year, we're going to run 146. So we have to pare that down. And what we do is we divide them into categories, you know, comedy, drama, sci-fi, horror.
Well, that makes sense, of course. That's why they have those categories out there.
That's what they're for. That's all they're for, is for us to divide these submissions into. And we determine how many blocks we're going to run, and then we start filling in films into those blocks. So we have, you know, when you come to the festival on a particular day, we might have, you know, drama C, and there's 6 to 8 drama films in that 90-minute block. So we have to determine which films go in which block and flesh out the schedule for the 4 days. It's a tremendously difficult process.
It does sound that way, because you've got to fit all the time lengths of each little film in there.
Timing is a big problem, and one of the difficulties is you'll have a longer film, one that's 15 minutes, and you'll have two 7-minute films, and you'll have to make a decision between the two, whether you put one 15-minute film in or two 7-minute films in, and then who's to say which film is better than the other? It usually leads to some arguments. That's what the selection committee is there for, but there are certainly some arguments that happened over the year. Last year, there was a film called, believe it or not, the title is called Incest the Musical.
Right.
Now, Incest the Musical...
I don't know how to respond to that.
Exactly what I said when I saw the title. The most offensive thing about Incest the Musical is the title. It's the cleanest incest movie you'll ever see. Not that I'm an expert on incest movies, but... there was a huge argument over whether we should run this movie. It was a little bit longer. It had the word incest in the title, but the movie itself was fabulously enjoyable. And so the argument was, it was mostly over the title. And we did decide to run the film, and it turned out to be one of the most popular films at the festival last year, and it won the Best Student Award.
Well, that's a marvelous tale then. That's a marvelous tale. That just goes to prove that you were right, because I'm assuming you were one of the ones that wanted to run it.
I was the one that was pushing hardest for it to run.
So that validation feels good.
It does when it goes that way. Some of the films that I pushed to get into the program didn't have that level of popularity. So it's always a challenge to know what to run and what not to run.
And those films just blew up in your face, huh?
Just blew up in my face, you know. And I'm looking at this year's schedule and wondering if there's maybe a few films in there that I pushed a little too hard for. But we'll see.
And that's what it's all about. So the selection committee figures out exactly what's going to be happening over these 3 or 4 days. And then how is the judging done? How is each film selected for its award?
Well, the awards is a different story. Of the films that are in the festival, the audience votes on those. We have an audience choice award. And so we'll award 7 audience choice awards in different categories, drama, comedy, sci-fi, etc. And then one best of the fest award built out of those audience votes. So what happens is the audience will come in and watch a block of films, and they'll get a voting chip on their way out, and they'll use the chip to vote for the film that was their favorite in that block. And then at the end of the festival, we tabulate those results and come up with the audience awards. Now, for the first time, well, not for the first time, but this year we're adding a jury award.
Oh.
And we have a panel of jurists. So we're going, in addition to the audience awards, we're going to have a jury award in 7 categories. It's pretty exciting.
That does sound very exciting. So now how is that jury selected?
That jury is made up of myself and executive director Lee Lanier, and then some industry professionals, Kurt Kuhn and Maureen Mead and Jay Rosenblatt. Not Jay Rosenblatt.
It'll come to you in a couple of hours.
It will. And David Schmoller. So David Schmoller and Kurt Kuhn and Morgan Meterwell have extensive film resumes. We'll work with us to vote upon a jury award for each of the categories.
That does sound very exciting. Very exciting. So now we've talked about, I guess that's the process during the year before the next festival comes up. Is there anything else you left out in that year, in that 9-month process?
That's most of what I do. There's some business that needs to be attended to with communicating with filmmakers from the previous year and then answering inquiries from filmmakers from the current year. And there are inquiries about promotions for the festival for the next year. But for the most part, aside from the selection process, the festival runs dormant until we get the schedule rolling.
All right. So now let's say it's the first day of the schedule and it's day one. What and we can use this upcoming one because it's coming up here in what are the dates again?
February 6th through 9th.
February 6th through 9th. So let's talk about February 6th. It sounds like these are going to be a busy 4 days for you.
It is incredibly busy 4 days. We've overstuffed the schedule with films, trying to make sure everybody gets a good value out of the festival. With 146 films in 4 days, I don't know if anybody could watch them all.
Yeah, that's a lot of films. That's a lot of viewing time.
It is. To give you an example of stuff we're going to be running on a particular day, on Wednesday, February 6th, we've got a block of documentaries, three, four, five blocks of drama films, a block of horror films, and a block of sci-fi films.
Now, that's a busy day. And what time does it start?
We're going to be starting at 11 a.m., and we go all the way to midnight.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's a long day.
That does sound – now, does every day go like that?
They do, pretty much. We start even earlier on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, around 10 a.m. on Saturday.
Do you even get a chance to sleep in those 4 days?
So, sometimes I sleep during the movies since I've seen them all.
Ah, well, that makes sense for you.
That's right. But Boulder City is a great place to have this film festival. With the restaurants in the downtown area, there's a chance to get down there and walk around and take a break from the festival for a little bit before you go into the next block. And, of course, you don't have to see everything. And you see some stuff that interests you, and you pick out some good programs in the festival schedule, and you come down and see those.
So is it more selective in that sense? People will go for a certain block of documentaries and then come back for the comedies because they're not so interested in the dramas?
Some people are keen on different kinds of programs, or they'll say, I'm going to go down to the festival this afternoon from 1 to 6 or whatever and watch whatever's there during that time, whatever fits into their time block. Some people do come for the full 4 days. And these films are special. They're very exciting. There's something special about short film compared to the feature length.
And what would that be?
Well, that would be that in a feature length film, you're bound by the fact that most feature length films need to make a profit.
Ah, true. Very true.
Yeah. So it's difficult to make a 90-minute movie without any kind of possibility of getting your money back. They're very expensive to make. But a short film, 5, 6, 7 minutes, an individual filmmaker can afford to make those on his own. It may be tough, but a lot of them can do it. And because of that, they have the ability to make anything they want. They don't have to worry about a commercial motive at the end. Mm-hmm. And so all the creative possibilities are there in front of them, and they can do anything they want. So that makes them exciting to watch.
And what type of people are making these movies?
Everybody's making these movies. All kinds of different people are. It's students and enthusiasts. And like you said, they're using all kinds of equipment from, video cameras, high-end prosumer cameras to, even Super 8 or the iPhone in their pocket. Hmm. However they decide to do it. And with the internet and the information that's available and the equipment that's affordable, it's exploded.
And do you think that's why you're seeing so many more entries this year, or that this is the highest level of highest number of entries this year?
No, I think that the Damn Short Film Festival itself, in its ninth year now, has grown exponentially. People love it so much, they keep coming back to it, and more people come to it and stay with it. And the festival is kind of taken on a stronger and larger reputation on the circuit. That's why I believe that we're receiving more entries.
So the festival itself is standing on its own, not just the filmmakers that are submitting.
I think the festival is standing out on its own. I think it's got a strong reputation on the festival circuit. And the reason that it has this reputation is because it is a film festival that is about filmmakers and for filmmakers. A lot of festivals you'll submit a film to and go, and you realize that their festival is really about their festival and not your movie or the movies that are in it. We try to reverse that process and take care of filmmakers here and give them audience. And our parties are designed to entertain them, and our events are designed to give them and their films exposure. And I think that has been one of the major points of our success.
Well, that's very remarkable. It's almost similar to what Charlie's trying to do with the podcast, getting people on here to help promote themselves.
That's great.
So now this is your second year as the director, and you've been involved for, we'll say, a handful of years. What challenges did you see from year one to year two?
There have been, in the years that I've been director, there have certainly been some challenges with growth. We are concerned with the long-term sustainability of the festival. And one thing that's very important is that we don't want to get into a budget hole where we're trying to dig ourselves out of the red. A lot of these little festivals across the country, they'll have year one, they'll have year two, they'll have year three, and all of a sudden they're gone. And the reason they're gone is because in year one, they spent, they got $1,000 into the hall and they said, we'll make it up next year. And year two, they couldn't make it up. And all of a sudden they were $1,500 in the hall. And by the end of year three, they were so deep in the hole, they couldn't climb out again.
Right. Yeah. That sounds very common on a lot of aspects.
So my first year, we had lost a big sponsor, and the decision was made to go from 3 to 4 days, which was tough. So we went down to the 3-day festival schedule, and we had the most successful festival ever since. The festival was just awesome, with a record number of attendees.
And do you think that was because of the 3 days, or was it just the way things got promoted?
I think that we did record attendance and had a record success in spite of the fact that the festival was 3 days. The decision was made at the end of that festival immediately to go to 4 days again this year. And we're finding out that 4 days is too short.
Wow.
We're trying to stuff in all this stuff that we want to put on in these festivals. So we're looking to go 5 days the next year, or maybe even longer. Who knows? We'll have to get to that. But I mean, it has the dealing with that level of growth, has had its own challenges. There are more filmmakers to respond to and to deal with and to take care of. There are more attendees, and all that comes with that. And it can take a little bit of a toll on the city the longer that it is. Boulder City is not a huge.
True. Yeah, I can see that.
So we have certain challenges with growth, and we don't want to overgrow. We don't want to grow too quickly. We'd like to control growth.
Well, that's always better. It's more stable.
Yeah.
So where do you see the festival going in the next 5 to, say, 10 years?
Well, since I'll be sick of it in 5 years from now.
That's true. We discussed that already. So.
That's right. I can only see that far into the future. One of the big goals that we have is to become an Academy qualifying festival, which is a nifty trick for a small film festival, especially a short film festival. And that requires a lot of work. We hope to accomplish that.
How is that a nifty trick? What's the process with that?
Well, the Academy just wants to make sure that the festivals that are Academy qualifying festivals have been around long enough and are strong enough to stand up on their own, so that they're not disappearing from the scene as a lot of festivals pop up.
So longevity.
Longevity is a huge issue. Adding a jury award was part of the strategy for that long term.
Mm.
The other issues of sustainability have to do with how many days in a row we can go. Because Boulder City is so important to this festival, the fact that it's in Boulder City, growing into a larger venue, say, where there are more screens, would hurt the festival. It wouldn't be the same anymore. Some festivals are running 2 and 3 screens. Well, we have the one screen in the one theater, and that's what we have available to us in Boulder City. We couldn't pick this festival up and move it to some other area where there were more screens and grow that way.
It would probably lose the charm.
It would lose the charm. So we're faced with a challenge where, you know, we are continuing to grow, yet don't want to outgrow where we are. And that makes for some tough decisions sometimes. Should we go longer amount of days, or how do we solve some of these challenges?
And so that's what this first year has been, really, for you, from last year to this year.
The first year was kind of a learning year, and I almost put in too many new features right from the beginning. Put in a new website and updated the way that we accept films. We started to take them digitally over the internet for submission. So a filmmaker didn't need to send us a DVD anymore.
Right. Of course. Yes, it's all going digital now.
That's right. The selection committee is completely online. The jury system is completely online. It's a goal in the future to have filmmakers actually submit their exhibition copies online in the future. So we're trying to take advantage of a lot of the stuff that's out there on the internet to improve the festival and make it better for filmmakers. But whenever I make a decision about the festival, I ask myself one question, and that is, will this decision make things better for the filmmakers or not?
Well, that's a good goal to keep in mind. That keeps your, we'll call them audience, because that's your audience, is those filmmakers. It'll keep your audience happy.
They're part of our audience, and we're trying to get audience for them.
That's remarkable. So now, is there anything, any debt or any other stories about the Damn Short Film Festival that you would like to share or tell us about?
I can tell you that one of the exciting things that we do here is some of the special programs that we're involved in. In addition to programming films that are submitted from short filmmakers from around the world, we also put together some special blocks, and this year we're running a couple of very interesting ones. One is we're having the Found Footage Festival guys come in to do a 90-minute presentation of films, and their films are clips from VCR tapes and VHS tapes that they've collected from dumpsters and garbage cans and thrift stores and garages from around the country. Very funny stuff. We're really excited to have them with us.
Oh, wow. So people that just throw out their old videotapes, these guys collect it and then put a montage together.
Exactly. And it's kind of like a comedy show, and it's very popular. These guys are booked solid on their schedule. Really excited about having them. I've seen some of the footage, and it's incredibly funny. They have stuff, for example, from a McDonald's training video.
Oh, wow.
That kind of stuff. They have a videotape of a virtual friend. It's just a videotape that you put into your VCR, turn it on, and he talks to you and says, "Hi, how are you? What's your name?" You know,
wow.
So you can answer.
I guess that was what the 80s did to us.
I guess so. So we're having those guys in, and that's kind of a big gift to everyone at the festival this year. We're really excited to have them and bring in a huge amount of laughter. And another special showcase we're putting together is the Visitar Film Festival, which is a festival of women horror film directors. So they're going to be putting on a bunch of films there. And so it adds some spice and variety to our program. We get to see a whole bunch of different points of view at the festival. It's really amazing.
It sounds very remarkable. I almost wish I could be there.
I wish you could too.
Definitely sounds like a marvelous 4-day week. So aside from being a filmmaker and a writer and the director of the festival, do you have any other hobbies?
I enjoy going out onto Lake Mead on the boat with my family and do a little knee boarding. I like to ski when I get a chance.
Now, water ski or snow ski?
Snow ski.
Ah, okay.
Which is hard to do on the lake. But
yeah, it would be very hot on the lake there. I'm assuming you'll take a trip over to Colorado for that.
Yeah, I won't be snow skiing on the lake.
I would hope not, because I think they would call that ice skating. So basically playing on the water or going down a hill is a couple of your other hobbies. Do you have any other things that you like to do, or any pets, or anything like that that's got a possible unique story behind it?
I have no pets.
No pets. Well, that's easy to clean up then.
It is. I think if there's anything about being director of the Damn Short Film Festival, it's that I put so much effort into it throughout the whole year that it has slowed me down from working on projects of my own and writing and making films. And as we grow, it gets even harder. So one of the initiatives we're putting in right now is we're looking to get some help. So we are making a call out there. We're going to be doing this soon, looking for some specific positions to help us out. People who want to volunteer with the festival and become involved with it, from volunteer coordinator to an internet manager to bring some new skill sets into running the festival. It takes an enormous amount of work and a large variety of skill sets. It is like making a film. It is collaborative. You can't do it alone.
So you need now these volunteers, are they also part of the crew then, I guess, the staff that would be helping out during the festival?
Yeah, exactly right. We have a hardcore group of volunteers that's with us every year and that help us run the festival during the 4 days that it happens and in the few days of preparation before the festival. We need people to help us on a year-round basis as well, and that's something that we're going to be looking for.
So the festival runs 4 days, and you mentioned earlier that you have different segments, different blocks of different movies. And since you've watched all of these, or at least a good majority of these, unbiasedly, I guess is the best way to ask this, do you have any favorites that you'd like to talk about?
Well, there are a couple of blocks I can mention to you, and one is the Nevada Filmmakers block. Every year the festival has a showcase exclusively for filmmakers from Nevada. And that is one of the most popularly attended blocks. It's very exciting to watch people who live here and make these films, and they bring a huge crowd with them. That's always a big showcase on Friday night. And another very traditional block that we have is a drama block of love and romance films. Since the festival usually runs right around Valentine's Day, that's always been a tradition.
Now that would make a very unique date night.
It would. It really would. And it's not just the films that we have at the film festival. There's some other events. First of all, we have a party or an event pretty much every day of the schedule. We have a filmmaker meet and greet on Wednesday where you can come out and it's a big party at the Boulder Dam Hotel where you can come out and meet the filmmakers and talk to them in depth and ask them about their movie. And it's a real festive event. And then we have another one on Friday, the Ninth Dam Mixer at the Boulder Dam Brewing Company, the brew pub there. It's always been a great event and traditionally held there.
Hey.
And on Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, we're going to have a filmmaker panel. Now, the filmmaker panel is interesting. It's kind of become a tradition here at the Damn Short Film Festival. We have a group of six filmmakers get up there, and we have a moderator. In this case, it'll be me this year. And we go out there with some questions, and we start talking to them a little more in depth about their filmmaking and why they're doing it and how they're doing it. And in the past, I've been on this panel and other filmmakers. And this year, for the first time, we're moving the entire panel into the theater. Usually it's been held outside the theater while other films screen there, and it's been in some auxiliary location. This, for the first time, it's become so popular and so well attended, and there's such demand by filmmakers for it that we are putting it into the theater to bring it to a much larger audience. And so we're really excited to see how that works out.
It sounds like it's going to be a very exciting thing if you got to move it inside now.
That's right. Yeah, we're moving it into the big house. So
either that, or people got tired of being sunburned.
We didn't actually have it outside, but yeah.
Oh, outside the theater, you just
we had it outside the theater in another building, yeah, or a community room or something. And the last time we had it in the filmmaker lounge in the hotel, and the place was packed. It was just stuffed. You couldn't. I'm sure we were breaking 12 different fire codes. So. We decided to bring it into the theater and give it the space and the attention of the festival that event deserved. And we're really excited about that. It's one of my favorite parts of the festival. Because we do a question and answer period with filmmakers who attend after each screening. So if you go watch, you know, Drama C, Hope and Heartache, and you see a film that you like in there, and you have a question about it, one of the filmmakers from that block might be there. And if you see Stand Up or Shut Up in that block, and Dave Silverman's going to be there, we're going to bring him up on stage and say, who's got a question for Dave? Who wants to ask him something? And you can get up there and talk to him and talk to him about his film.
Right, so it's very interactive.
We try to make it that, yeah.
It sounds like it's one of the goals you definitely strive for.
We want to be able to provide filmmakers with that audience and people watching their films. And you know, the internet is great. I mean, it's amazing. And you can make a film right now and get it up online, and it's accessible to everyone. But the hard truth of it is that it's real easy to put your film online. And maybe a few people do see it, but you don't really get that interaction that you get at a film festival.
Oh, not at all.
That's what they're after here, and that's what we're trying to get to.
And that's a marvelous thing. I think that's one of the synergistic things about being a filmmaker is hearing that audience feedback.
I think it's critical for any artist, and you don't get that feedback as much on the internet as you do in person, especially as a short filmmaker. There's just so much material out there. But in a film festival, even with 146 films, your film is highlighted,
right?
In a film festival. So you really get some attention and some feedback and some reaction. And to watch your film in a real movie theater on the large screen is something special.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it is. It's because most people are watching things on a 15-inch or so monitor. And let's face it, nobody really likes to sit down and leave a comment unless it's been something that's really moved them. They just want to move on to the next thing and watch whatever it is. But in a live venue, you're almost it's almost impossible not to give a feedback just by watching something, whether it's a gasp or a laugh or a cry or whatever other emotional response you have.
The audience reaction and interaction is tremendous, and it's you know, when I've run my films through a film festival and sat there, it's just an amazing experience, and it's an amazing feeling. And there really is nothing like a film festival. It's a special medium. It really is.
And now listen to this. Hello, listeners. It's little old me again with a word or three from our sponsors. And you might be asking yourself, who would sponsor this show? Well, the Random Variety Show is supported by people like you, the listener. And we've got a plethora of ways that you can support the show. One of the easiest ways is to visit randomvarietyshow.com and click on our Amazon link, located on the left-hand sidebar. Be sure to save it as your favorites or bookmark it for future use. Now, go ahead and make all your purchases on Amazon just as you usually would. And if you've ever shopped or searched through Amazon before, you know that they can have just about everything under the sun on Amazon. In fact, you might even find an Amazon at Amazon. And usually everything's available at below retail prices, with reasonable to no shipping fees. Remember, with every purchase you make through our link, you support the show. You see, pennies for every dollar spent come back to help to continue to provide you with this unique and remarkable program. Another way for you to provide support would be with a direct donation through our donate button located at, well, yeah, you guessed it, randomvarietyshow.com. For the price of a few gallons of gas, you can help support the show. And lastly, if you or your friends enjoy audiobooks or audio entertainment in general, then Audible.com is the place for you. With over 100,000 titles of books, magazines, radio shows, and stand-up comedy to choose from, I guarantee you'll find something for everyone. And for listeners of the Random Variety Show, Audible is offering you a free title of your choosing just for trying their service for 30 days. Visit audibletrial.com/randomvarietyshow right now to take advantage of this wonderful offer. And now, Charlie, give our listeners a suggestion or two from these 100,000 titles available.
Thanks, Groucho. Today's Audible suggestion comes from listener Becky, the Twitter handle at CrankyMomOf2. She suggests The Help by Catherine Sockett, written in 2009. Three ordinary women are about to take an extraordinary step. Now, I'll admit I haven't listened to this. I'm going off of her suggestion. But the summary provided by Audible is incredible. 22-year-old Skeeter has just returned home after graduating from Ole Miss. She may have a degree, but it's 1962 Mississippi, and her mother will not be happy till Skeeter has a ring on her finger. Skeeter would normally find solace with her beloved maid, Constantine, the woman who raised her. But Constantine has disappeared, and no one will tell Skeeter where she's gone. Abilene is a black maid, a wise, regal woman, raising her 17th white child. Something has shifted inside her after the loss of her own son, who died while his bosses looked the other way. She's devoted to the little girl she looks after, though she knows both their hearts may be broken. Minnie, Abilene's best friend, is a short, fat, and perhaps the saddest woman in Mississippi. She can cook like nobody's business, but she can't mind her tongue, so she's lost yet another job. Minnie finally finds a position working for someone too new to the town to know her reputation, but her new boss has secrets of her own. Seemingly as different from one another as can be, these women will nonetheless come together for a clandestine project that will put them all at risk. And why? Because they're all suffocating within the lines that define their town and their times. And sometimes lines are meant to be crossed. In pitch-perfect voices, Catherine Sockett creates three extraordinary women whose determination to start a movement of their own forever changes a town and the way women, mothers, daughters, caregivers, friends, view one another. Plus, the edition available on Audible includes the afterword, Too Little, Too Late, Catherine Sockett in her own words, as read by the author. So, thank you at Cranky Mama 2 for that suggestion. Back to you, Groucho.
Thanks, Charlie. So visit audibletrial.com/randomvarietyshow to get your free download right now. And if anybody asks, tell them Groucho sent you. Oh, and one last thing. Your name can be right here. Contact us at randomvarietyshow.com today. And now, back to the show. Well, it sounds like we've just about come to that time for the Bernard Pivot questions. Are you familiar with the Bernard Pivot questions?
I am.
Oh, absolutely. That's marvelous. That's wonderful. All right, so go ahead and answer number one.
What is number one again?
Oh, you want me to repeat them to you?
If you could. Yeah.
All right, that's fine. Question number one. What is your favorite word?
My favorite word. Cheese.
All right. Now, what is your least favorite word?
Cheese.
All right, now we need to have an explanation on that. You like cheese and you hate cheese, at least as a word. I don't know about being a food.
To be fair, that's fair enough. Yeah, an explanation I think is warranted, and I said that because I don't think you can love or hate words. They're just words.
They're poignant.
Lots of words out there, and they only have meaning when you give them meaning. So words are tools. There's good tools and bad tools. So cheese can be as good a word as it is a bad word.
That's a perfect answer.
Wow, so that's what I wanted was perfect.
All right, question number three. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
I think the thing that turns me on the most is family.
And what turns you off creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Being alone.
Next question is, what is your favorite curse word?
Poop.
That's one of the cleanest dirty words I've ever heard. What sound or noise do you love?
I love the sound of ice dropping into one of those heavy quality glasses.
Like a Rocks glass or a Tom Collins?
Like a good drinking glass, you know, that's crystal, and you can, you know, when you drop the ice, you can tell that it's a piece of quality.
Mm-hmm. And what sound or noise do you hate?
Any noise that you hear when you're sitting in the dentist chair.
Now, next question is, what profession, other than your own, would you like to attempt?
Host of the Random Variety Show podcast.
Well, I'll let Charlie know that. Now, what profession would you not like to do?
Politician, I think.
And lastly, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say to you when you arrive at the pearly gates?
That's a good question. Go back for another 60.
John, thank you so much for being on the show. Tell our listeners how they can find out more about you and the Damn Short Film Festival.
Thanks again so much for having me here. You can learn all about the Damn Short Film Festival on our website at www.damnshortfilm.org.
And I'll make sure that Charlie puts that in the show notes. Do you have a Twitter or a Facebook that you want to give out, or just let them find it on the website?
You can find those on the website. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/damnshortfilm. You can follow our tweets at damnshortfilm. Everything's damnshortfilm. If you stick damnshortfilm into anything, we'll pop up, including a toaster.
Perfect, John. That's perfect. I don't know any other way that we could end this, except I'm going to send this on back to Charlie and let him edit it up. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Groucho. Really do appreciate it. To recap the interview there, John's favorite curse word was poop, which is an easy word because I don't have to bleep it out. That makes it easy for me and Reginald. He's also looking for volunteers in all capacities. For more information on how you can volunteer for the Damn Short Film Festival, contact John at damnshortfilm.org. That's right, it's listener feedback time. It's a chance for me to give back to you because you've been giving it to me for the last 2 weeks. This listener feedback is also from the person who gave the Audible suggestion. Thank you so much for that suggestion. It's on my list of things to get, I'll say that much, and I hope it is for you guys too. I knew she had signed up for Audible. I had mentioned it in episodes past, and I said, hey, you know, how do you like it? How's the service? She says, oh, it's great. In fact, I'm listening to, and she told me, the Audible suggestion. Then she also said, yeah, it's really great to listen to when we're at the hospital, and gave me the link to a Facebook fan page, community page. Go there right now, facebook.com, and then at the top, search JRJourney08. That's JR, you know, Junior, Journey, the word, 08. And when I said, you know, okay, well, what's it about? What's wrong? The answer came back was, I don't know. It's about her little boy. He's got some medical issues, digestive medical issues. We'll sum it up like that. Go find out for yourself. It's just been a struggle for the last 4 years for them. And, you know, my heart goes out. So I said, let me mention it on the podcast. So go there right now, find out about it for yourself, and help support her four-year-old boy and her journey into finding out what is wrong. And at Cranky Mama 2, thank you so much for sharing the audiobook and this webpage, and I hope you find those answers soon. I really do. I also want to mention a big listener feedback to all the Twitter handles that have been retweeting my stuff. There's, at Cranky Mama 2, there's Creating Sparks, there's the Evil Ted podcast, Corey Epps. He's got a few Twitters out there. The Half Scoop, there's just so many out there that I can't remember them all and I can't keep track of them. So I just want to say thanks, guys, for all the retweets. I really do appreciate it. It's voicemail time. Give us a call, 619-407-8770. Leave us a message. We'll play it on the show. Now, it's just a Google voice number. It goes straight to voicemail. Nobody answers it. Dial 619-407-8770 or email us an MP3 file. That's 3 to 5 minutes in length, and I'll play it on the show. The email is therandomvarietyshowpodcast@gmail.com or just visit randomvarietyshow.com. Well, we've reached that time again. It's the end of the show. There's the end of the show music. I'd like to thank my guests, John Labani, and, of course, Groucho, for providing the interview. Big thank you to Reginald for editing and producing the show. Thank you so much. I'd like to thank all of you for listening. Big thank you goes out to the Pod Gods Network for including us in their wonderful lineup. Be sure to listen to the show every Friday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern at WQ4DRadio.com. Please support the show by visiting RandomVarietyShow.com and taking advantage of the Amazon, Audible, and Direct Donate buttons. Our guests for next episode are Nate, Grant, Justin, and John, the guys from the Epic PodQuest podcast. Sound effects for this episode have been provided by GarageBand and Freesound.org. You've been listening to the RVSP, the Random Variety Show podcast. Remember, there's no need to RSVP for the RVSP.
This is Charlie Miller saying, this is Charlie Miller saying, this is Charlie Miller saying, thanks for listening, folks. I really do appreciate it. Have a great night. I'll see you next time.
Mr. Marks appears courtesy of the chaotic prattle and vibrations of Mr. Miller's larynx and the marvelous wizardry of the internet.